Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Edward Pinckney, you're now listening to the Pinckney Show. The story of the Black Panther Party, told by Larry Pinckney, only by Larry Pinckney.
We shall overcome. No, before this victory's won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory's won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory's won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory's won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators, but we shall overcome. And I tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting.
Reverend Edward Pinckney, the only pastor in the history of mankind to ever be sent to prison for quote the Bible. I tell you, we had a tremendous week this week, but I want people to know that Whirlpool has continued to take over the city of Benton Harbor. We cannot believe what our city commissioners are doing. The word is around that Whirlpool has voodooed them because they want to vote against Whirlpool, but they can't. I cannot believe that someone will come in and allow these people to steal land from their children and their children in the future. But we continue to battle Whirlpool. We continue to do the things we need to do, and we're going to continue this fight not just today but forever until we get it right. Whatever means necessary, we are willing to do. We're willing to take this thing to a level that's never been on before. But I tell you, I'm happy today because I know I have folks around me who actually care. Ralph, are you there?
I am, and you could hear me. He got beyond that great orator, Reverend King, and we jumped right to the city council being voodooed. I don't know.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Can you believe that? My wife said, well, maybe they're being voodooed. Nobody could ever make a decision the way they... Now, here, look, I want you to correct me, Ralph, if I'm wrong. Now, Whirlpool comes in. They want $50 million from a city that's $5 million in the red.
Right.
And but they're not satisfied with the $5 million. I mean the $50 million. They want a whole street. They want to take over this whole street. They asked the Brownfield Committee to come in and redistrict this section of town so they can have it. At first, the brothers and sisters voted no. They would not do it. Then Whirlpool calls an emergency meeting. And gets them back. They only meet once a month. So they didn't call an emergency meeting. Whirlpool called an emergency meeting want them to come back in and rethink what they're doing, because now they have went out and slid a couple of envelopes underneath the door, in between the car windows, placed them in the trunk of cars, and now they go back in and vote.
Yeah, well, I think that there were some envelopes, and I wasn't there, and I don't know, but my inner sense tells me that they slipped some other envelopes that were packaged and gave them to certain people to get the vote the way they wanted, in the good old American tradition of corruption, buying what you want. And when that happens, it's because people do not have the moral strength or the moral will to say no to that which is evil. And
I mean, but you know, for them to say no, that's if you know it's not right.
Right.
I mean,
well, see,
to me, it seemed like it's easy, right?
Yes.
They say, well, no, because I'm not really saying no to you. I'm protecting the future of my children.
Exactly. And I tell you, there's a scene that will live in my mind forever. Standing down there on the beach and listening to the young woman talk about how she and her now husband used to play on those hills as children.
Mm.
And now the specter of Whirlpool is there to take it. And to me, that's like, wow, how, yes, it happens every day. And your wife could be onto something about voodoo, but I call it zombieized.
Uh-huh.
What is a zombie? Somebody who has no will of their own. You know, like, and I guess voodoo is what zombies people, turns them into zombies. But that's what a zombie is. And we have so many in our political scene today. We have zombies all over the country. We have zombies in Congress. We have zombies as a president. And it's and I just shake my head. So Benton Harbor, a beautiful place, but not immune to the zombieization of the nation.
Mm.
So we go ahead.
How do we sit here and tell our children that we had all this beautiful lakefront land, and we had these knuckleheads, zombies? I got to go back to what my wife said. It's a strong possibility they might be voodooed or hoodooed.
Hoodooed.
So look, what she's saying, nobody could be this stupid.
Well, here
I
it
mean,
is.
I don't
I,
look,
I like,
even
I like
if they're the, giving them an envelope, Ralph, underneath the table, how stupid can people be?
Yeah. Well, I like it when Lynn Stewart was speaking at NYU, the law school in New York once. So it was a Saturday afternoon, and the place was packed, and we were standing outside walking in with the crowd. And one of the things we heard were people talking about this area during the Vietnam War and how they were there and how they struggled. And when we got inside, Lynn said, if that many people were there struggling, we would have won it an awful lot sooner. And because they were not struggling, but what were they doing? They were lying to their children and other people. And those same people who took envelopes, when their children or someone asked, how could that happen? They will lie and say, I fought against it all the way. Mm. But if everybody fought against it, it would not have happened. So this is what they're going to do. So you ask the question, how can they do this? They do that with their eyes wide open, figuring they're going to lie, and they're going to take the chump change that they got, and they think they're going to buy a palace, but it will get them nothing. It is,
absolutely. And here's the thing, too, Ralph. I was telling my wife when we was talking about this, and I was telling her, now, you know, when they really want something, they would do anything to get it. They would even kill.
Yes.
And put the gun in somebody else's hand.
Yes.
And use their influence in the courthouse, around the community, with the news meter, and convict someone.
Yes.
But my here's my problem, though. How can people be this now Eve, Ralph? Can you tell me, how can we be so stupid to allow these people to get away with stuff and think it's all right.
Well, no. You know, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the nation in general. And here we are. We're ready to go into the second, the double dip of the economic depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming in November, December. Here we are, October. And their Congress is, you know, making these decisions. And I says, you know, this is Hooverism. You know, you see in the whole nation of England, they're going to cut 500,000 jobs to lower the deficit. And then I think this type of economics are Hoover economics. But then I thought of something, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, the G-Men. And I believe there's an awful lot of blackmail going on in Congress. I believe
mm-hmm.
they use, you know, like the police forces, the Justice Department, not to help people, but to hurt people. And when I watch this health plan thing, and I watch Kucinich, and I'm saying, the only thing I could think, what did they have on him?
Mm-hmm.
And I watch a lot of black political leaders, so-called leaders, they
mm-hmm.
crumble. And there's one particular political person in New York who got caught in a drug deal, and he became their flunky.
Mm.
And I'm saying, you know, hey, it was a drug deal. Everybody's doing it. Don't sell your life to get out from under a drug deal. Ralph,
yeah. That could be a setup.
It could well be.
You know, he may have never touched the drugs himself, never had nothing to do with that. But they have ways of making. See, when you control this media is a monster.
That's why
we have to use this internet like never before.
Yes.
The media is a monster, Ralph. What they do, they plant that seed in the community and they let it grow.
Yes.
And we are so naive, Ralph, to think that what they're doing is the right thing.
No, I think we know, but we feel powerless. When your wife says we've been zombie-ized, voodoo-ized, mm-hmm. over the years, we believe that press.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that piece of paper. We believe in the man. And this is where we're in trouble. When Mao had his revolution in China, people say, how could he do that? Because everyone in the West said, the Chinese peasant will not fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, five European countries controlled the economy of this giant country, and then Mao got them to fight. And then after the fight was over, they says, well, how did he do that? And someone was there and analyzed it. He was writing on a blank page. The Chinese peasant had not been written on. Well, here we look at the American public. Well, there's never been a public in history written on more than we have. The lies in our education books. And when you think we just got to find out that our history didn't start with slavery just 40 years ago. You know, in the 60s, there was no black history. So we had lying textbooks. We had lying books after that that left us out. Now we have this monster media, you know, the television. And as Queen Mother Moore said, if everybody black took their television one Saturday night and threw it out the window Monday morning, there would be new televisions in their homes free. Don't have to buy them. They need that to work
mm-hmm.
on our minds.
And
they
remember now, even you know what you're saying have to be the truth, because even now they're reducing the TV. TVs are so cheap now, the flat screens and everything.
Yeah,
they're almost free.
Yep, they'll give it to you. And one of the I'm sitting in a place right now where there is no TV.
Mm-hmm.
Never got a TV. Don't want a TV. You know, I want to find out something. As you said, there's the internet. Go to it and look.
Yeah.
Get deep in it, and you can't trust that. But there's going to be a lot of people putting things there. We have WikiLeaks, you know, people who say, hey, let's tell the truth. And there's enough of them. But
mm-hmm.
most people just sit, and that's, it's a passive thing. You hit the knob, and it comes on.
And remember this, too, the government controls that, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you sit here and you might think for one moment that our government don't have their hands in this computer. They got their hands so deep in this computer. They read your email. They monitor stuff that comes to you. They
exactly.
do all these things, and they get away with it.
Oh, yeah, and because we've elected people, and one of the saddest things is when they were talking about getting internet to certain areas at certain prices. We have our own organization, your organization. The national chapter of the NAACP came down on the wrong side, you know, that would deny poor people, generally in black neighborhoods, the right to a reasonably priced internet, the right to have access to information. So you see it's happening on every level. People are getting, let me not act childish. We are in a corrupt society.
Man.
Corrupt. Immoral.
Immoral. And the worst part about this whole thing, they got everybody convinced the government is, everybody is so afraid of the government.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know what they're capable of doing.
Well,
you know,
here's one of the latest. You know, Lynn Stewart has 10 minutes a day to communicate with close members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has a list of about 10 people that she can call. So the other day, she's calling me, and I was saying, well, I try to give her a quick update of the news. And I'm saying, did you know that down in the Gulf, some unemployed fishermen, because there are no fish,
mm-hmm.
were hired by BP to pick up the dead whales and dolphins that were floating, take them ashore, cut them up, and bury them someplace.
Mm.
So some news people got to them and says, hey, what are you doing? And when they told them, guess who they had a visit from?
Ooh.
Homeland Security. And I'm saying, then there were two other fishermen in smaller boats that were skimming small fish off the surface and taking them ashore and burying them. And they had mentioned they were getting 500-600 pounds a night.
Mm.
And they had mentioned it to, you know, like people who were around there in the media because the government is hiding stuff in the Gulf. And they spoke to the news media. And Homeland Security visited them. And while we're having a conversation, I thought we ran out of time. There was a click.
Mm.
The next day, Lynn said to me, did you hear that? And I'm saying, you know, did I hear what? She says, you know, when we were clicked off, I says, no, it just went dead. I thought we were out of time. She says, no, we're not out of time. What had happened was it was a voice came on and said, not allowed.
Is
otherwise,
that right?
She's not allowed to hear this.
Wow.
And I'm saying, So then she says, I may be punished for that. So she says, within 24 hours, if you'd say something, they're listening in to everything you say. If you
mm-hmm.
say something that's not allowed, you'll be punished. So the next day she called.
But she may not have known it was not allowed.
Well, hey, Homeland Security, because a fisherman told the media he was getting paid to pick up dead whales and dolphins? I didn't know dead whales. You know, this person or the oil is killing one of the largest food sources on the planet.
Oh,
and they
absolutely.
Don't want us to know.
They do not want us to know. That's why I don't trust no seafood. Anything that may have come from over there by that Gulf, I'm leery of it.
And you want to know something else?
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to say where your fish came from now, unless you're grandfathered in. Let's say
uh-huh.
10 years ago you had a seafood company from Alaska, and you named the seafood company Alaskan Seafood Company.
Right.
Now, today, you can't say Alaskan or Norwegian or out of the Gulf. That's illegal. See how they do it?
Ralph,
just like
where are we going? I mean,
where
what
are we
going?
Going?
What do we have to do, Ralph, to neutralize this, to get people moving and saying no more, that we're not going to take this mess no more?
I think we're getting there very fast because I think it was back in the 20s when Boss Tweed in New York had said, well, he didn't care which party you voted for as long as he got to pick the candidates.
Mm.
And I'm saying, there he said it in the 20s, very clear, 80 years ago, 90 years ago. I don't care who you vote for as long as I pick
who's
the
you
candidate.
Vote for.
So
that's
here
right.
we are. Our candidates are picked by the corporations.
Absolutely.
So they don't care who we vote for because they own both of them.
Mm.
And what do we
right.
have to do?
Yeah.
I go back to one thing that my friend had said, Ralph, if you take their jobs, they're jobless. If you take their homes, they're homeless. But when they're hungry, then maybe you can organize them. And
that's
at
right.
that point, I'm
and
going to help.
And that's why they're giving out food stamps for the people. They
yep.
care less about your rent.
Yep.
They mm-hmm. care less about you having a job.
That's right.
And like you said, they do not want you to be hungry.
Because
you
may
know,
get up.
You can, look, anybody can get food stamps.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Well, but this is where we are. But you see, there's enough food to feed the world, you know, over, you know, 1.5 times. But there's a shortage of people who can afford the food.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna stretch us out. And
yeah.
I see that there's going to be, we have malnutrition already. We're going to have hunger here because they have so mismanaged the industry, the farm industry. So I say, well, people are going to wake up because we are jobless and the jobs are not coming back. And one of the things, if you watch the news, they keep saying, well, fewer people lost their jobs
mm-hmm.
this month than last month, so the economy is improving. And I'm saying, wait a minute. If there are fewer jobs, you know, that's funny interpretation here.
Right.
There are fewer
absolutely.
Jobs. More people have lost their jobs. Nobody's getting the job back. It seems to me there's a cumulative effect of unemployment, which will make the economy automatically go bad.
And you
how
know
do they? But they're cheerleaders. We don't have media people up there. They use that ignorant box to say things are getting better. So I just, you know, I says, I don't know, maybe they're getting better for other people. They're not getting better for me. And I don't think I'm by myself.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
I'm not the only one. So,
you know, let me say this real fast and get this in, because there was a young man here. He was unemployed. He's homeless. Don't have any money. He said, Reverend, I'm ready to do something really drastic. I
yes.
said, what would you think about doing that would be drastic?
Yes.
He said, I want to build me an army and yes. challenge these people.
Yep.
I said, you know, sometimes you think about stuff like that. And I said, well, I wouldn't want you to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I would want you to do, build your army. And let's see what we can do to neutralize these other folks.
Yeah.
And he was so excited, you know, because he thought I was going to chew him out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
But what my thing is this. We have to do something, Ralph.
We have to educate our people.
We have
anybody?
To educate them on how to deal with these issues that come about. We got to let them know. That, and I love that attitude.
Yes.
Now, we're ready to move to a different level.
Ready
and
to
that's
learn.
Where we have to go.
Ready to know that he needs a solution.
That's right.
And see, once people understand that there's a problem, then we have a chance to organize.
That's right. And if we can organize on that level, think about that for a second.
Oh,
we
yeah.
could change this stuff around. Because actually, even government, even the army, even all the law enforcement is actually controlled by the corporations.
Exactly.
They make the decision who goes to jail, who goes to prison,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we don't have the electric chair here or anything like that, but if we did, they would be making that decision also. I've
yep.
never seen a company that actually can, you know, when you talk about how a corporation controls a courthouse, the word is, every Thursday, I go to this county board commissioner meeting, and I tell them about their court system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they do anything about it, it's important to me, but if they don't, I'm not mad, because now they can't say they don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they're doing over there. We want you to fix it.
Yeah.
And then when this young man was talking, what he was saying, it all fits in.
Yes.
You see? It's all fixed in. What if this start happening all across the country?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, see, one of the things that when you were driving around telling people about, you know, like a whirlpool, and when somebody would say, oh, I'm okay, well, we're in trouble. But when he realizes, hey, I'm not okay, now they are in trouble.
Absolutely. And this young man, he realized now that he's not okay.
Yep.
You know, the thing that came out of his mouth, he said, he talked almost like me. He said, we have to do something for the future of our children,
right,
even if it means that we have to sacrifice.
Yes.
And that's the kind of talk that I love to hear, because now I'm able to take you and educate you about what's
right.
going on here in the world.
Once you know that there's some answers that you need, and then that's where it begins, because
mm-hmm.
too many people think they don't need it. They're okay.
Yeah.
Think they're okay. But they're with the, every 7 minutes, there's another foreclosure. And when they said, and I says, this is an amazing thing what the president said, that he wanted the banks had to review them, you know,
mm-hmm.
the foreclosures. So then we find Wells Fargo made more money this quarter than ever before. And I said, gee, I thought, the government had to loan Wells Fargo money. They're some of the worst offenders in terms of these mortgages. And Citibank said they were reviewing them. And somebody said they were reviewing, in 5 minutes, they reviewed 300, you know, stamping. You know,
yeah.
That's just as quick as I'm saying. What?
Right.
What? Some review. And the
that's how they review.
Yeah, and I'm saying.
They looked at it and stamped it.
And review.
Get that house. Get that house.
And the
that's
president.
All they were doing. Get that house. They stamped right on there.
And the president said, well, he had hoped that they would do better. And I'm saying, wait a minute. When you wanted to, you know, to sidle up to the enemy on abortion, you said, well, I'm going to do a signing. I'm signing a paper here that there'll be no federal money for abortion, even though the law says differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, well, you signed that. And the poor women, and Lynn was talking about the poor women in prison. She says, you know, they're living high in the hog and, you know, with their boyfriends and doing all kind of things and get pregnant. Then they get arrested. And then they say, gee, things have changed. I'm not out there. I don't have, you know, like, I don't want my baby born in jail.
Yeah.
I just as soon not have a baby. Guess what? You have to have $400 sent in for you because no federal money for abortion. So, therefore, we're going to have more babies with nobody to take care of them. Obama will be out there bad-mouthing all black men because they don't have jobs and they haven't taken care of them, and he's out there making sure that the women do have them. Even women who conscientiously say, hey, things have changed. You know, I don't want this baby out here with nobody to take care of. You know, I'm going to be in jail for the next 5 years. The baby will be born and go to foster care, which is, we know what that's about.
Absolutely.
They're not wonderful people. And I was just thinking myself, you know, I'm an old man. I'm 76. But we're in such conditions here. And I look at some of these homes and I look at some of these states where, you know, like they even steal that money, the money that's supposed to go, you know, for children in this condition. And many years ago, I used to teach free on Saturday. They had a program in New York run by the Catholic Church called Little Flowers. And I just volunteered time because I know children need education. And I would go in on Saturdays, and it would depress me so bad. But I was politically active, and I'm saying, you know, these kids need somebody. Not somebody like me who's running around to meetings and carrying on. But as I slow down, and this economy is slowed down to a crawl. A young man I know who received a lot of money from his mother. She died. He got a house and a lot. And he has a business of his own that deals with boilers and all. And he sold his lot the other day, he says, because the business has slowed down. And he said he needed the money. Well, I was renting the lot. Now I'm out of business.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this domino, the economic domino, is falling everywhere. And I'm looking around and I'm saying, gee, I could have a couple of kids. I'm messing around. My wood pile is done. The business is over. And I says, well, I just have to stretch the dollars a little further, you know, because if I'm not out there preaching and talking and working, then, this is an enormous problem we have in this country. And,
you know what?
Our children.
Ralph, and the thing is not going to get any better.
It's
until the people are educated enough to understand that we do have a problem.
A problem.
Until they understand that we have a problem, it's going to continue on this level.
Yes.
And that's why even, you know, it is so crucial. That's why I'm out there every single day.
Right.
You know, even my message today was trying to get these folks to move. You know,
yeah.
I told the story how here in Benton Harbor, how these ministers lined up against me. They went, they knew that Whirlpool and of course, them, all these white folk was against me, but all the ministers did, they lined up against me, and they was talking about how much they hated me. I mean, these are ministers, these are people of God, Ralph. They
well,
were saying,
those are people
here,
who
let,
say
let me finish
they are
this point.
Of God.
I was trying to get them to understand that if we fought together on some issues, and look, and you don't have to agree with me, you don't even have to like me to stand with me, but that we must have a common bond on what we're trying to attain here. See, we have an objective here, not just for ourselves, but for the future of our children.
Yeah, we
see, anytime that you're not willing to compromise enough to stand up for the future of your children, you got a major problem, Ralph.
Yes. We have
you
we
got
have
a major problem.
We have a problem with morality here. And
yeah.
One of the things I was talking to an Arab from the Middle East, I think he
uh-huh.
was an Egyptian, and
yeah.
I happened to say, I says, well, I says, you know, you're in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked, he says, well, where is that? You know, so then I says, well, you know, you have the Quran, and I don't know if there's any references to, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
I says, but in the Bible, we have references to an extremely evil cities that
That's
God
right.
destroyed. And I'm saying, you're there. You know, you are there. Extremely evil cities on every level. And we have an extremely evil nation. Can you imagine a nation that they have a war? Nobody, they know it was based on lies. They have young men who don't understand the lie, who get injured. And I'm saying, now, I'm not talking about Iraqis or Afghanis. Of course, we should be worried and concerned about them. Not
yes,
only
absolutely.
Are they not concerned about them, when the soldiers come home, wounded and hurt and sick, they downgrade the hospitals and say there's nothing wrong with you.
Oh, and oh absolutely. And listen to this, Ralph. This is important, too. They sent these young folks over there to die. You
right.
know, care less about you, knowing that the war was a lie, and you can't even talk to these people about telling them that that war was a lie. They, you cannot sit down and tell these folks that that war was a lie. That you know, now they're trying to, they're shipping everything right now. They're trying to, the Republicans are trying to take over. But to me, it don't make a difference whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It don't make a difference which one you are. It's the system that we're
yes.
living in.
Well, Brother Larry said Republicrats.
Yeah.
And it's because it's the same.
It's the same.
Boss Tweed, he don't care who you vote for as long as he picks the people. And
That's
here
right.
we have a major election, and they're talking about jobs and money and schools and food and highways. Nobody says war.
No.
Now, I'm saying, wait a minute. Where's the money going? What did Obama say? The Pentagon is... off is not to be touched. That's off the, you know, like that's off the agenda. And I'm
right.
saying, what did they
but
do?
But that's because, Chris, and you understand why the Pentagon is not being touched. That is strictly because that keeps these corporations making money.
Exactly.
That's what it does. But listen, I got Tiffany. Tiffany, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today, Tiffany?
I am doing fine, gentlemen.
How's everything going?
I'm hanging in there.
All right, we have Ralph Porter. He's on the line with us today. He's on the phone. But I want to give you a little update on something that had happened since you began. I have not been in contact with your family, but that doesn't stop anything. I had a meeting with Michael Sepik about his conditions. He tried to point out to me that. Some of the things that I was saying was not factual, and what I wanted from him, I wanted him to show me where I may be wrong at, and he could not show me where I could be wrong, but he's just saying that the information is not accurate. So I said, well, In other words, you telling me that you're going to give her the maximum amount of time. And he wouldn't answer that question. But here's where I want to go with this. I am going to be at the library tomorrow, and I would love for your family, for you to email your family, tell them to meet me there at 11 o'clock. I'll be there until about 12:30. So I want them to be there around about 11 o'clock if they can, because that is the period of time where I sit down and talk with people trying to iron out some of these issues that do exist in our community. And now what I want to do, I want to step this thing up a little bit. I am dealing with the letter writing project that we're working on. So we're moving forward on that issue too. But do you have any information yourself that you would like to share with us? Or why don't you do this? Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your father and the accident itself? Why don't you do that?
Just the accident around the accident?
Just, you know, everything that happened that led up to you talking to the prosecutor, and you tell them what the prosecutor said too, because they may, you know, sometimes they say, well, I'm saying it, but now it was told directly to you, because that's what the attitude of the prosecutor when I met with him. He was saying that I wasn't there, so I don't know. So I want you to tell us what he said, just in case he's listening. I want him to be prepared to hear this.
Well, what started it all is after my father was killed, my family and I tried to get copies of police reports because we wanted to find out actually what had happened, and we wanted to find out what Paige was going to be charged with. And that's when all of the backlash occurred. We were told that we couldn't get a copy of the police reports. We really weren't given a reason why. The prosecutor told us that the police department was telling him that we couldn't have the police report, and the police department was in turn saying the prosecutor's office was saying the report couldn't be released. So the family was just confused on why we weren't able to get information. And we just had basic questions. You know, why couldn't we have the police report?
Mm-hmm.
When we found out what she was being charged with, why was the charge so lenient and not vehicular manslaughter or second-degree murder? And once again, we could never get any answers. And I called Mr. Sessick several times. He didn't return my phone call. So that was the issue, because I always thought, or the family thought, prosecution was for the state.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I would like you to give us some detail as to who your father is and who exactly the accused is, their position and racially in this society.
Exactly. So at that point in time, my family and I felt like the prosecuting attorney's office, they weren't going to do their jobs. I mean, it was evident. They really wanted nothing to do with us. So that's how all
was that because you figured that y'all was black and she was white?
Yes. And that was brought up. And I've spoken to Michael Sepik on two occasions, and pretty much that's his position. His position, like he told my family and I, she suffered enough.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make any blatant of a statement than that.
Yeah, and that's the statement
that
he claimed.
We told him at that time
we
were concerned.
That's the statement he claimed that he did not make. And I went to the county board commissioner meeting and told them the same identical words. And when I met with him, his thoughts was that that I did not have my facts together, and he wouldn't say stuff like that, which I know is a lie, because what they do down here, they say whatever they want to say, because they know that, personally, black folks can't do nothing about it, because we're surrounded by them, and they care less about us. They don't care nothing about your father being black and was murdered by a white person. They don't care nothing about that. And the point is, they figure that you just go somewhere and just shut up and let this girl get probation so she can resume her life, and here your dad is dead. That's what they do. This is what they've been doing for years. And what we've been doing, they've been intimidating the people here so bad that people are afraid to open their mouth and say anything. They won't even – you was here. You know how these folks is. And the only way that I got these folks moving, when I mentioned it at the NAACP Freedom Fund Dinner, when I mentioned it then, people then started to call me and ask me about it. You see, if I had not mentioned it then, yes.
Did he answer the question about the charge, since he said he didn't tell the family that she
suffered
enough?
He would not answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah, you see.
I've always been raised, if someone is calling you a liar and you're not a liar, that makes the statement. Because it's very easy for him to say that he didn't say those things, but that's not true because he's not changing the charge.
Well, I know he's a liar anyway. Now, he's a liar for real. You see, I have watched him for years and years and years. And I know what they do over there. And I'm happy that you have took the initiative to take this thing to a whole different level. Because
that's not the issue.
Look, you're not an average person. That's the most important thing. You know how to deal and you're willing to fight. But I want to get your family fired up enough to say, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, we know that they do not care about us. But then we have to care about us.
That's right.
We care about us to the degree of just writing a letter, to the degree of just saying, you know, if this is the way you're going to do your job, we're going to make sure that you don't have the job. We're going to make sure that somebody else has the job. And this is the only power that we have. When we say, not only do we know what you're doing, not only do we understand the double standard, what we're going to do is stop you from being in position to exercise this double standard. And all I have to do when people say, what do you mean? I says, let's just reverse the identity of the people involved. Let's say it was your father who was black and was drunk, hit a white woman, and killed her. What do you think the charges would be then? And it's as simple as that. Everyone knows.
We asked him, when he met with us, we asked him that, and that was the question that was never answered. It was just silence, and that's when he got upset, because he said the family was saying that he was prejudiced and racist.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he wanted to leave the meeting. He never could answer that question.
Yes.
No, and remember this, too. Remember that McKenzie girl, Champagne McKenzie, when she hit this white couple crossing the street, and she didn't kill them. She just barely injured these folks, and they wanted to give her the death penalty almost. You should have look. They had about 7-8 different articles about this girl striking these white folks, and this was an accident, a real accident. They gave her 6 months in jail, 6 months, and then they gave her 5 years probation, and she can't drive for 5 years. She is not to drive a car for 5 years because she hit this white couple. And here, this girl done killed your daddy. She's out driving around right now.
Yep. Double standard.
But this is the community, though.
We have to protest.
I'm trying to get these folks so riled up that they'll say, well, we're going over there. These folks, what I want to do is I can get them to write a letter. I can do that.
Yes.
But as far as just standing up, getting stuff going, that is not going to happen with these folks. You see, they'll say one thing. That's why I got to get them while they're hot. See, when you see one thing about us, they say we run fast, but we don't run long, and they know that about us. You know, you're like a quarter mile horses who can only run a quarter of a mile. You see, and the race is a mile long, so that's how they label us. So now what we got to do, we have to move this thing to a whole different level. Either have to put up or shut up, Ralph.
Yes, well, you see, I hate the idea that people are going to be hungry. I hate the idea that people are homeless. I hate the idea that we think we're going to have a job next month and things are getting better, but next month is coming and they are not going to get better. And this is where we step in. We've been organizing. I've been organizing all my adult life. But I tell you now that I remember in the 60s when we used to have street speakers, I used to speak on the street and have crowds. Well, nowadays you stand up and speak on the street, people walk right by you until recently. Now, I've been involved in street speaking every Wednesday at Union Square, where every Wednesday in New York at Union Square, people are showing up to sit and listen. Why is that? Because times are getting tougher. People are looking for answers. We will be able to organize. We have to organize in a different fashion. We have to first get people to speak out when you say, write letters. Then we have to get people to understand what to say to Mr. DA. You're here now. but that doesn't mean you're here for long.
That's
and
right.
And if we don't like what you have done, we will make sure that you never get public office again. Mm. You may have to go back to work like the rest of us. And these are the messages that we have to put out there.
And we got to do it whether we like it or not. And,
yes.
And you know one thing about Tiffany? You know, a lot of times now I think about your dad, and I think about it could be anybody. That could have been
could
me.
Be anybody.
They could have ran over that girl drunk. And the thing is, they tried to always give them the smallest amount of time that they can give somebody. Here's something. They gave this one guy 45 years in jail for possession of those ecstasy pills. You can't get 45 years for possession. And here they talking about giving this girl probation and she done murder somebody?
Yep. There
yep.
How do we do it?
Double standard. Our lives are worth nothing to them, and I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about, what are our lives worth to us?
Right.
And I like to put that on people's plate. Hey,
right.
What are you going to do for this family? What
mm-hmm.
justice are you going to demand for that family? What value do you put on that life? Are you going to take the 10 minutes or 15 minutes, or are you going to pick up your phone to make the phone call? And it's all the same. It's all the same, whether you're talking about Whirlpool taking over your community, and here we see in Michigan, the young lady in Michigan, seems that she may have a problem this time. Is that so? In the election, the governor? Hello, Reverend Pinckney.
She can't run no way. She's through dealing.
She's through. She's history.
But we need to move on. But listen, mm-hmm. Tiff, I want you to hang on because I'm getting ready to bring on Libby, and and I'm going to give you a chance for some closing remarks. So what you want people to know and what you want people to do, I want you to say that at the end.
Okay.
Libby, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and this sounds really excellent, everything everybody's saying. And I particularly like that street speaking and what's going on in New York, Ralph. That's giving
yes.
me some ideas right now.
Yes.
Well, I'm looking at the website, bhbanco.org. That's Benton Harbor, bhbanco.org. And just to report on some of the latest moves of Whirlpool in their carrying out of monumental miscarriage of justice in Benton Harbor and Berrien County, which is Representative Fred Upton's and, let's just call Berrien County Fred Upton and Whirlpool's oligarchy,
okay.
Which is land controlled by a group of people who pass their influence from one generation to the next,
mm.
and oligarchies have been tyrannical throughout history, being completely reliant. Now, here's an important part, being completely reliant on public servitude to exist. If we go to October 13th, we see that the city commission, now who is this? Sorry. The county commissioners in Berrien County have okayed tax breaks for Whirlpool construction. One of the commenters in the local newspaper, the Herald Palladium, also known as the Hell Pollution. One of the commenters said, why are they building a palace in these times? This is for a new Whirlpool headquarters down Lake Michigan. Part of the land is in Benton Harbor. So this just begins by saying, this is from October 13th on BH Banco. Tax abatements sought by Whirlpool Corporation as incentives for $86 million in construction got a green light Thursday from the Berrien County Board of Commissioners. The board, without dissent, voted to extend Renaissance Zone status for the site of the company's proposed World Headquarters campus in downtown Benton Harbor and for its Edgewater Technology Center in St. Joseph and Call Center in Benton Township. So that's the beginning of that article. One commenter suggests Whirlpool could pay for all of this new construction with the money it is going to use to pay its $92 million criminal fine. They recently received this, by the way, for antitrust price fixing.
Yes, but who gets the money?
But they say instead of demanding tax incentives and abatements from the taxpayers, of whom some may have been ripped off by buying higher-priced appliances from the global appliance giant so the Lucky Duckies are paying twice. Oh, well, we still have Harbor Shores. Go ahead, Ralph. I have another thing to read, though.
Well, I'm going to give you the example that this is happening around the nation.
In New
York, we've had a problem with emissions, and there used to every day there would be a report, air quality. Well, the air quality was bad every day and getting worse, so they stopped reporting it. And so there was a gentleman who was a commissioner of transportation, and he was in charge of buying buses. So when they went to the gas buses, this gentleman signed a contract for the next 3 years for New York to buy the diesel buses that were outmoded. So he bought, you know, hundreds of diesel buses and then retired and resigned. And I says, I wonder how many checks he gets after that for himself that nobody knows about, or how many packages of cash. How could he do it in a moment when everybody was screaming about asthma and the quality of air and the bus garages? The bus garages were toxic dump sites. And they had to move them because they were, guess, in the heart of where? In the heart of Harlem. And, of course, they didn't move the one in Harlem. It's still going. That's the black community. The one that was in the white community, they moved it because it was a toxic dump site. And then they proceeded to buy more diesel buses. Around the country, they were going into gas sites. Now we have the double standard. We have the corruption. We have the whole nine yards. It's happening, and we haven't woken up yet.
Ralph, let me cut in on you there, because we know that we haven't woken up on a lot of things. But, you know, one of the things that about Whirlpool, they're getting all this tax break. And Harold Pladum said that the city of Benton Harbor will not receive any benefits till 2023, but that's not true either. The city of Benton Harbor will not receive any benefits from this $50 million until 2030. But this is on the same line, just like in New York, what you're talking about is all over the country. And it's not going to stop until we man up.
Yes.
We have to man up, and I know y'all probably missed the earlier conversation I had about this one guy that lives here in Benton Harbor who want to build an army. He want to build an army, and I never heard that kind of talk before.
Yeah,
he want to build an army to show these people that we're not going to take this mess no more, and he's willing to make the sacrifice.
Yes.
We got to have people willing to make the sacrifice for our children. Because it's all about our children, and that's all over the country.
As Martin Luther King said in that speech, you know, we have to be willing to sacrifice. Because if you're not willing to sacrifice, nobody really cares. It's
Absolutely.
Just like in Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai. Hamid Karzai, the phony, non-elected official, just like in America, non-elected Bush. You know, for two terms, he's there, and he says, you know, I'm going to have to negotiate with the Taliban. And people say, well, why would you negotiate with him? And he says, well, the people with guns are the only ones that matter.
Yeah.
You got to negotiate with them.
Correct.
They have them, and they're willing to use them. Who
Absolutely.
Else are you going to negotiate with? But here's
That's
the
it.
Funny thing. Let me just get this last thing in. In order to get rid of the Taliban, who had stopped the growing of poppies,
poppy seed,
you know, that produces opium and heroin, the Taliban had gotten rid of that. So in order to get the people to fight the Taliban, they, United States and Europeans and NATO organized with warlords and said, if you side with us, we will allow you to grow opium again. And they
that
grew
is
it
something.
Again,
and, you're
and
100%
now they
correct,
went from
Ralph.
Zero to 114% of the world's supply. They can supply it. And now they're saying, Well, you know, opium is hurting Russia, and it's hurting people in the United States, and it's hurting, and they says, gee, we have to negotiate. And I says, now how are they going to tell the warlords, well, we don't want you growing opium anymore? Out of the question, they can't tell them anything because they are the devils themselves, the American,
that,
the European.
That would never happen. Libby, you got about 2 minutes.
Okay, we heard about the county commission giving tax breaks. And now if we go to October 24, on the blog, it actually is an article from the 19th. One step back, three forward. I'm not quite sure what that means. City Commission approves Whirlpool tax breaks. So now we have an article that talks about the meeting where the commissioners of Benton Harbor actually voted 8-1 to approve property tax break for the company. Now, the one who voted no, God bless him, was Dennis Knowles. And so...
See, but then that's what people don't know. They're all in it together. You got...
Yes.
If everybody would have voted yes, it would have showed that they was not dysfunctional. That's why
yes.
You always have two or three on one side and have the others on the other side, and it confused the public. And that's what they're doing right now. He's just like them. Next week he's going to be on the other side.
Exactly.
He's going to have somebody else on
exactly.
that side.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know that happens, and I'm sure you're right, and I probably shouldn't have said that. But
no,
anyways,
you should say it
so
and explain the game. We have Charlie Rangel.
The thing is, they have the county commission giving tax breaks. They have the city commission, and I'll just end by saying, because we're running out of time, I see, I'll just end by saying the thing that makes this situation maybe different or more interesting or more horrible than different things like it around the country is that it's geographically quite isolated. And if Michigan residents were willing to pay attention, they would see a crystalline example, you know, with no confusion, of corporate power just and greed just so incredible here. It's so crystalline clear. There's no big city around it messing it up and confusing the situation. It's just so obvious what's going on. And I think that this website, if listeners want more information on Berrien County, Michigan, it's bhbanco.org.
Very good. Hey, listen, Tiffany, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you got about 2 minutes. You can tell us whatever you want us to know.
Just in closing, just listen to everyone. It's bigger than my father, like I said before. It's about the community. There's a lot of misjustices going on that have been going on for some time, and at some time we as a community have to stop it. And that's why I'm willing to fight, and I'm hoping that folks will write, you know, call in, get in contact with you, and do just what's necessary.
Because, like you said,
it was my father. Tomorrow it could be someone else.
It could be
Whirlpool buying up someplace else. It could be Whirlpool putting an end to Benton Harbor and creating Harbor Shores. You know, it can always be something else.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And the thing is, we got to make sure these people understand exactly what's going on, because right now they may not see it. But like I tell everybody, your day is coming. You know, and people don't realize they don't want to move until something happened to them. And then when something happened to you, it's too late. You need to move now. You need to take this stuff to a whole different level. You need to show the world what you made of. And until you're able to do that, it's going to be just like this. It's going to be just like this. So we got to do it. And that's why I'm willing to take up this fight with your father. But I really need your family. Tell them to be there tomorrow at the library. And I promise you I won't hold them long. But I want to, if she got a flyer, I want her to bring that flyer. And then we can all make copies or something and start getting stuff out in the community. Because I want to write a story about him. It's going to be a short one, but I'm going to write a story all about Eddie. And I'm going to show you and show them, the people, exactly what's really going on. So that way we can get it going. But I'm going to let you read the story before I put it out. So that way I'll email it to you and you'll give me the okay to put it in the newspaper.
Okay.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, you are doing your job, by identifying us and allowing us to come together and hear each other's struggles and each other's determination. So you just continue doing that job, and we'll continue to remember who each other is, who we are. And I see ourselves as a unit. I see that we're working on this, and I'm with you, and I won't hold it, take any more time. Thank you.
Okay, and we only got a couple of seconds, but I want people to know that, you know, we're going to take a stand. I got my friend Libby on the line, and she's going to help me get this word out for you. And Ralph is going to do it, and we got Larry. Larry is not with us today, but he's around somewhere. So we have to take our time and get this right, and we got to do it for you. And on that note, we are all out of time.
Good night,
and
much love.
You get your family together. Tell them to meet me at that library on Tuesday.
I will do that.
You hear me? Tuesday at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay. Libby, I'll talk to you later. Ralph, take care of yourself.
Night.
I love you all, and I'm going to have to say good night.
Bye.
To free our children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great chapter meeting.